hadn't known enough to pack sunglasses and a hat, but I did bring the most essential tool, a big 2-quart canteen, which I soon learned to drain at least 3 times a day. It was a confusing and difficult time for the U.S. military. Americans had been brought to this dusty but sweaty equatorial nation to help with the logistics of famine relief, and there now was shooting going on. This was the first U.S. brush with peacemaking, a new form of post-Cold War, low-intensity chaos that is neither war nor peace, but produces enough exhaustion, anxiety, boredom, and confusion to feel much like combat. I went out on night patrol in the sand hills just west of Mogadishu with a squad from Alpha Company of the 1st Battalion of the 7th Marines. The city below was dead silent.
There were no electric lights illuminating the night, no cars moving, no dogs barking at the patrol, no chickens clucking.
The only sound in the night was the occasional death rattle cough of sick infants. As we walked in single file, with red and green tracer fire arcing across the black sky over the city, I realized that I had placed my life in the hands of the young corporal leading the patrol, a 22-year-old Marine. In my office back in Washington, we wouldn't let a 22-year-old run the copying machine without adult supervision. Here, after just 2 days on the ground in Africa, the corporal was leading his squad into unknown territory with a confidence that was contagious. The next morning, I walked to the Mogadishu airport along a hot road ankle-deep in fine dust with another returning patrol from Alpha Company, led by Corporal Armando Cordova, a precise-seeming man with a small mustache and wire-rimmed glasses. A native of Puerto Rico who was raised in the Bronx, he once left the Marines and then, after 10 months back in New York City, reenlisted. "You don't make friends in the world like you do here," he explained, his M16 slung horizontally across his chest. "We are like a family. We eat together, sleep together, patrol together." The last thing I wrote in my notebook as I flew out of Somalia was that, in an era when many people of their age seem aimless, these Marines know what they were about, taking care of each other. Of course, that ethos isn't always honored. Some Marines rob and beat one another, or lie to Congress, or rape Okinawan girls. But over the last 4 years in Somalia, in a sniper's nest in Haiti, aboard amphibious assault ships in the Atlantic and the Adriatic, and at Marine installations in the U.S., I consistently have been impressed by the sense of self that young Marines possess. The U.S. military is extremely good today, arguably the best it has ever been, and probably, for the first time in its history, the best in the world. It also has addressed in effective ways racial issues and drug abuse, problems that have stymied the rest of American society. At a time when America seems distrustful of its young males, when young black men especially are figures of fear for many Americans, the military is a different world. As the sociologist Charles Moskos has observed, it is routine in the military, unlike in the rest of the nation, to see blacks boss around whites. But the Marines are distinct, even within the separate world of the U.S. military. Theirs is a culture apart. The Air Force has its planes, the Navy its ships, the Army its obsessively written and obeyed doctrine that dictates how to act. Culture, that is, the values and assumptions that shape its members, is all the Marines have. It is what holds them together. They are the smallest of the U.S. military services, and in many ways, the most interesting. Theirs is the richest culture. Formalistic, insular, elitist, with a deep anchor in their own history and mythology. Much more than the other branches, they place pride and responsibility at the lowest levels of the organization. The Marines have one officer for every 8.8 enlistees. That is a wider ratio than in any other service. The Air Force, at the other end of the spectrum, has one officer for every 4.2 enlistees. Alone among the U.S. military services, the Marines have bestowed their name on their enlisted ranks. The Army has Army officers and soldiers. The Navy has naval officers and sailors. The Air Force has Air Force officers and airmen. But the Marines have officers and Marines. "Every Marine a rifleman," states one key core motto. It means that the essence of the organization resides with the lowest of the low, the peon in the trenches. That's especially significant because 49% of Marines are in the services.